number three of cracking the Christmas code. We're also, what, about 3 weeks away, or 3 weeks from Thanksgiving? Anybody still have any leftovers in their fridge? I do. I do. It's there. I took out some turkey on Friday for my chickens. I was like, oh, that doesn't smell like it's edible for humans. Let's give it to the chickens. And so I took that out there, took out some corn. Like, that's how I get rid of a lot of my leftovers. And they love it because they give me eggs. And I love that part. Like, it's this give and take relationship. The moment they stop giving me eggs, I want to kill one of them in front of the rest of them and say, you know what? Like, this is where you're headed unless you start, like, producing here. So, but that's just a really morbid picture of your pastor this morning. But for those, whether you've eaten your 100th turkey sandwich or ham sandwich or whatever you ate for Thanksgiving and all the leftovers are gone, it's almost time to do it all over again, right? It's almost time to get back together with all those family members. And isn't it fun getting together with family members for the holidays? This nervous laughter that beckons out of the front row, like that is always interesting. Like it's this live action of whack-a-mole, right? Like you're just like, and now you're gonna picture that as you walk into Christmas with your in-laws or outlaws or whatever it may be, right? Because there's maybe we'll change the names, all right? There's Uncle Greg, right? And he is there really to just corner you and to tell you the latest conspiracy theory that is on YouTube and let you know about the government controlling the weather, right? And this isn't Pastor Brian controlling the weather. This is the government controlling the weather as you're trying to, all you want is the mashed potatoes. You're just trying to the bob and weave to try to get to your favorite thing, the mashed potatoes. And he is there trying to tell you how the world is ending and the government's in control of it. Meanwhile, you've got Aunt Linda, right? Aunt Linda's there and she's lecturing the family about all the dangers of gluten, right? But really, we all see her in the corner sneaking the slice of pumpkin pie that is full of gluten and acting like nobody noticed, even though it's all over her face. You've got all those. You've got Cousin Dave, right? He's ready to show you his pictures of his perfect match, right? And right, she's 10 years younger than him, at least, if not 20, right? And it's all about, he's telling you all about his online dating adventures, right? And how he found the perfect one, right? And it's probably some 50-year-old man in China, right? And anyways, but we've got Grandma Betty wandering around calling everyone the wrong name, right? And telling the same story for the thousandth time while insisting that you stay perfect in the guest room that is decorated from 1972. You've got brother-in-law Steve. He insists on narrating every football game like he's auditioning for ESPN, right? You've got Tyler, the teenage nephew. He's playing the role of the moody teen, right? Just grunts and rolls his eyes at everything that's going on and stares back at his phone, right? And then the one that causes probably the most chaos is middle schooler Joey, right? Who knows every TikTok and YouTube slang and now uses it like his second language, right? You're going to hear him enthusiastically saying bet after everything because that means he's agreeing to anything, blurting it out, and then like he'll say no cap, right? And nobody knows what that is or why he's saying it, right? If everyone dares question his holiday spirit, he's going to yell out no cap, right? When something goes wrong, he's quick to drop the that's sus, right? And give you the weird eyes and definitely make sure everybody know how that turkey was low-key bussing this year. And it's a great mix, right? Every single year, there are those people that are joining us at the Christmas table. By the way, today we're looking at the kind of lineage of Jesus. We're actually going to do this in an extended version next year. We're calling the series Jesus and the Griswolds. And if you've ever seen that movie, that's what Jesus' family looks like. And so today you're going to get a teaser to next year's Christmas series. Because many of us, we get into the Bible, right? Many of us, whether we start at Genesis, I wouldn't recommend there because that's Old Testament. You're going to be confused by a lot of it. It's a great creation story, but then it just gets weirder and weirder as you keep reading. And so I really refer everybody, like, read the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you'll see what this really is truly all about. You'll see God's heart for his people time after time again, and then start back over and go to Genesis. And then you'll see Jesus even showing up in Genesis. It's a beautiful picture, and I recommend that everybody start off that way when they read the Bible. But there's this interesting section of Scripture, right? Many of us have heard this same Christmas story over and over and over. Baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph, Virgin Mary giving birth to a baby that just doesn't happen, and Joseph sticking with her, like, even though it's not his kid. And so we've heard the story, we've seen the nativity, but this year we've said, what is there more to it? Is there more in this Christmas story? Can we crack this Christmas code and dig in and see if there's a little more to it than what we've thought about? And so many times when people are reading the Christmas story, they'll start off in Matthew 1:18. It says, this is how Jesus was born, right? And we're excited about that, right? This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. And we're like, okay, I know this story. You get the goosebumps, you get the feels, you're ready for it. But don't you know? There's 17 verses that came before that. Just like you. Before you were born, there's probably 17 verses that came before you. there were things that happened before you came on this earth. Things that helped you come onto this earth. And so, I challenge us today to examine what happened first. What happened first? It says, this is a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. And most people then fall asleep, right? Right? Because this isn't an exciting passage of Scripture. It says, Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brother. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, right? Like, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, right? You're ready to skip through it. You're ready to breeze through it. Okay, when does it get good? I've seen this play out before. Like, this is just how that Jesus got here and the lineage of the family. But the benefit of reading the Gospels first and then going back to the Old Testament is you begin to find out who these people really were and how they really were and how messed up they really were. See, Jesus' family tree is filled with brokenness. There's prostitutes in this family tree. There's liars in this family tree. There's King David, yay, in this family tree. But really, King David was a murderer. King David committed adultery. Like when you look at this family tree, that just names and calls out a few of them. But yet God chooses those people in verses 1 through 17 to be the ones that bring forth Jesus, to be that family tree. I'm sure you have your own stories of your family tree, right? That's the Christmas you don't go to, right? Like, that's the ones that live up in Wisconsin, right? Like that's where those are. But if you read the Bible on a regular basis, if you come here on a regular basis, you hear jacked up stories even about my own life. Last week, you heard Ron, an ex-drug dealer that leads us in worship every week. You meet people here that they could be authors, they could be professors, they could also be sporting some ankle jewelry that keeps track of where they're at all times. You'll meet some tattoo artists, you'll meet some engineers, you'll meet army recruiters, and you'll meet weathermen. You'll meet gas station attendants, you'll meet nurses. Like, even in this room, we're a mixed bag. But we can all come together. And I like to think that if God can work through verses 1 through 17, that he can probably do something pretty amazing through us too, as we come together. If God can work through the mess of Jesus' family, then he can probably even work through yours. And you're like, I don't know, Pastor Billy. Have you ever met my family? No, but have you ever met mine? You've met some of them. The nice ones, the ones we let come out, right? See, I think Christmas is actually more about your family than you realize. Like, it is way more about my family, way more about your family than we've probably ever thought. Because we get to that section after going 1 through 17, you get to verse 18, it says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quickly. By the time you get down to verse 20, it says, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in his dream, Joseph, son of David. The angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from all their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. That means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. See, we see this Christmas story all here with this little family, but many of us don't realize the extended family, the scandal, the uncertainty, the supernatural intervention, the many people that had to say yes to God in order for Mary to even be there, in order for Joseph to even be there. But Jesus, we see him introduced into this context of family. I think proving to me that God's plan was to bring salvation through this family. And could he be doing that even right now? You hear of the celebrations of who we are as a church. You got to see even Miss Isabel delivering the announcements today. Didn't she do a great job? That was awesome. Yeah. That was. Make sure and go tell her in Innovation Kids how amazing she did. High five her, like be like the tunnel as she leaves church today and high five her as she goes. Like, she did a great job. And it's because of this family that we can pull the gifts out of one another, that we can recognize, that we can see, that we can hear about, and we can prop up one another and strengthen one another and lift up one another. Could God be doing the same thing through our church family and challenging us to be the church that the world needs to see? Many of you guys don't know it or not, and I don't even know if I'm supposed to announce it or not, but during our second service today, we got a call last week. It was, Monday morning. We get an email, and then I check the voicemail box and stuff, and we get a call from the New York Times. And they're actually coming here for our second service today, and we're going to be featured in the paper because of our Christmas Addams service. That's the weirdest like hour and a half of my morning of this past week. Could God be doing some things with our church that he wants to do in the whole church at large? As Elizabeth Diaz interviewed, she said, well, why? Why did you do Christmas, Adam? And we said, well, looking at the divorce rate of, I believe it's 56% in Tippecanoe County, seeing the broken families, knowing that there's plenty of churches that are full on Christmas Eve, holding the candles, singing Silent Night, but where are the people that are the 67%? What does doing that bring back from their remembrance as a child, good ideas or bad ideas? As well as, with that divorce rate, we saw a lot of kids at mom's for Christmas Eve and dad's for Christmas Day, or vice versa. And so we said, in order for us to not be, in order us for to reach people that no one's reaching, we've got to do things that no one's doing. Well, what's nobody doing? Christmas Adam. Nobody gathers. Why would they gather on the 23rd? Well, let's give them something to gather about. Amen. Let's give them a place that they can. When their traditions, when we have 67% of our community that doesn't attend church on a regular basis, let's do something irregular to get their attention. I had a pastor that drove by the sign. He was like, that's the most ludicrous thing that I've ever heard of. Christmas Adam, what's that all about? He said, yeah. And people show up to see what that is all about. We got to do things that nobody's doing to reach people that nobody's reaching. Could God be doing something in our church to challenge not just us as a church, but also the church at large to be the church the world needs to see? Be the church that goes to the world, meets the world where they're at, not tries to come and invade and talk about things that don't matter to them, but bring the gospel to them where they're at. Say, we've created a place for you. Next year, I'm excited. We've already started talking with Jeannie from River of Hope and the Grief Care Ministry on December 21st. It's the darkest day of the year, the day that has the most darkness, to do a Blue Christmas service and host a Blue Christmas service. Because there's people that are battling grief, that have lost loved ones. And can we come together and honor those loved ones? And also create a space for grief. So I'm excited that 2025 that we get to do that. Because that happens in everybody's lives. Will we be the ones that see a need and meet the need? I'd like to do that. Jesus was introduced in this context of family, though, to make us family, to show that we too can be family. He didn't come to just save us. He came to bring us into God's family. I love the fact that Jesus was adopted to show us that God's love, that he wants to adopt us as his own, that we get caught up in the world and we get caught up in our own thing, and he's there to adopt us. That's why I love the part of the Christmas offering that helps fund the expansion of the foster closet, that it gets to be 5 times larger, that the church can be the one that's opening up its arms and saying, hey, we're here for you. There's things that you don't see. We got the text message from DCS, the Department of Child Services, asking if they can rent out this space yet again. Are we just let them use it? We need to open it up and set it all up and make it all pretty. But to do their parent appreciation dinner for the second year in a row, because they had so much fun just last weekend doing pictures with Santa right here in this place. There were over 200 foster kids served and loved and cared for right in here. I love taking care of the orphans, just like the scripture tells us to. Jesus was adopted to show us that God's love is there to adopt us as well. And what about us? Will we be a church that adopts those that are unwanted? Joseph adopted Jesus, mirroring the way that God adopts us, no matter where we come from. Joseph could have easily had walked out. He could have easily said, no, I don't want to be caught up in that scandal. Like many of us do when we even think of the foster care system. No, I don't want to step into that mess. Would we be willing to be the Joseph that says yes, because of the love that's been shown to us? The third part of this family atmosphere is there's a mess in there. There's knots in this family, and the knots in, like, if you've ever been one that's cutting wood, right? You're there, and then you hit a knot, and it goes sideways, right? That to you is Uncle Jerry, right? You know, he's here this year. I don't know about him, right? Cousin Jane, oh, they're here. I'm not sure about that, right? The knots in Jesus' family tree show up, but it shows that there's room, right? It shows that there's room for you. And no matter, I know, like Jordan gets ready to do all his backstreet moves when I say this line, right? That no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you did, right? that's not just a 90s boy band song. That no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, because of God's mercy and grace, there's room for you to be adopted in his family. You go through that 1 through 17, Judah and Tamar. There was scandal known for Judah's relationship with his daughter-in-law, Tamar. Daughter, yeah, that's pretty jacked up. Rahab, right? Known for being a prostitute in Jericho who helped the Israelite spies, leading to her being spared and becoming a part of Jesus' lineage. David and Bathsheba. We see adultery. Known for being a king that had an affair with Bathsheba, which led to scandal, sin, consequences, but also repentance and restoration. When you look at Jesus' genealogy, it's not without its own messes, but it shows that God doesn't shy away from brokenness. That he embraces it and he redeems it time after time again. And by recording Jesus' family line there through 1 through 17, the Bible invites us. Can we be honest about ours? Can we be honest about our own family history? And even when we sit down this Christmas season with those that have yet been redeemed, will we sit there with judgmental thoughts? Will we sit there with a judgmental attitude? Or will we realize that God offers them a place in the family, just like he's offered us a place in his family? Maybe you're already at the family table, right? But what about your left and right seat? What about the seats that are in front of you? What about the seats that are behind you? Next Sunday is December 22nd. And even though we couldn't finagle the calendar and stuff to get a blue Christmas service in this year, what about those that are even hurting this year? Because December 22nd comes after December 21st. My mom taught me that in kindergarten. Just saying. 22 comes after 21. And many of us know somebody who's facing grief right now. The darkest day of their life has already happened. What's going to happen the day after? Here we're going to be pointing them to Jesus. It's a special message, and you've probably already thought of that person. They popped into your head, but next week's message is called How to Deal with Heartbreak at Christmas. Because there are people in this world that are hurting. God has a place for them as well, just like he's got a place for you. And I know this because Jesus went from the manger to the cross to bring us into God's family. Like Ephesians 2:19, it says, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family." The church is more than just a Sunday service. It's more than just a place to get your kids to behave. It's more than where they can learn about morals. It's way more than community. It's God's family. And it's not perfect. It's not. I mean, today, like, we're even baptizing Kevin, right? Right? Like Kevin's here, and he's getting baptized. And Kevin's family, it's not going to make him perfect. I'm sorry. It's not. It really won't. He's still going to be Kevin, right? Like you're still going to want to scream out his name every Christmas season, right? As loud as possible. Kevin! Right? I don't know. But Kevin's not the only crazy guy in here. And I'm so glad that that's the case. That we don't have to have it all together because he's the one that holds it all together. We're not perfect, but we're perfectly loved. And Jesus came through that messy night to show us that he's okay with the mess. And he's here to invite us into the family where grace covers all our flaws. Today we get to celebrate with those that are making a public declaration that they're joining God's family. And I can't be more excited that this Christmas season that we get to have a baptism. My wife was like, "What about all the pretty decorations?" I'm like, "So what? The hot tub isn't pretty, but it's hot. And we get to baptize somebody that wants to go public in their faith." And so today, as the band comes forward, they're gonna come forward and they're gonna sing the rest of that song, because that they're gonna go over that he holds all things together. Because maybe you came in here not knowing that song, Maybe you came in here thinking that how could God ever do anything in my life? Why would he ever do anything in my life? You don't know who I am. You don't know where I'm from. I don't, but you also don't know that same thing about me. But I know that we've all traveled a path and that we're all here at this destination, and God has shown us that none of us have to be perfect. None of us have to be the ones that get everything together, because he's the one that will continually hold it all together. So today, as we close, today, as the band comes up and leads us in that song, can we be the ones that, or just Mandy, she'll sing it out for us today. But today, can we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for today. Thank you for this message. The message that came even before you came. The people who came before you came. God, how we have Abraham that was told by his own wife to sleep with a maidservant, and he thought that was a good idea. God, there's been instances in our own life where we've thought things are good ideas even because our wife told us so. And God, it was a bad decision. But you were there. God, when we look at Isaac, when we look at the life of Jacob, when we look at Perez, God, none of these are perfect. When we look at Solomon, the one who had 700 wives, God, you are the one that can make this ragtag mess that we see from the beginning of Matthew 1 all the way to Matthew 17. You've taken these people, and out of that, you brought your son. God, what do you want to do in our mess? In the 17 verses of our lives, what are you doing in us? What are you wanting to do with us? What are you wanting to do in our family, through our family tree? God, what are you wanting to do in the next generation? God, we're here and we submit it all to you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And we thank you for the reminder today that no matter how messy we are or our families are, that you make a place for us in yours. That you came to give us hope. You didn't come to just give us a holiday. You came to give us hope for a lifetime. You came to show us that through our flaws and imperfections that we can still be a part of something greater. That we can still be a part of your family. Help us to embrace one another, imperfections and all, as we move forward in your grace. And God, may we invite others to join this family, knowing that your love covers all our messes. God, for those that are here today, that maybe walked into this place feeling disqualified, feeling that lightning would strike it if they came to church today, feeling and knowing that they don't have it all together. God, I'm thankful that they're in a place where they can learn about and know about you, the one who holds it all together. God, we thank you for your incredible love that makes room for all of us in your family. Today, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, to be your Lord and Savior, you've never given him the chance to adopt you into his family. Maybe today, with just a simple confession of asking him to be your Lord and Savior, asking him to save you from your sin, asking him for forgiveness for the times that you've done life your own way, apart from him. Today, Jesus calls out to you just like he did the disciples all throughout Scripture. He asks you to follow him. That you don't have to have it all together, because he says, follow me and I will make you. Make you into who he's created you to be all along. He's the one that shaped you and formed you while you were in your mother's rooms. He's the one that has a plan and a purpose for you. But today, maybe it's time to ask him to fulfill that purpose in your life. So today, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you've done, today, would you pray this prayer and invite Jesus into your heart and into your life and choose today to follow after him? If that's you and you need to say that prayer, we're about to do a whole repeat after me thing, but don't worry, you're not the only one saying that prayer. I ask that everybody in the room says it, because everybody in the room are those that walk alongside you, that spur you along, that walk this faith journey week after week, both in this room and outside of this room, through friendships, through connect groups, through doing life together. So today, we're going to pray this prayer, and if you're praying it for the first time, if you're asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, he will come into your life and do exactly as you ask. Church, would you pray this prayer? Heavenly Father, today I invite you into my heart, knowing no matter what I've done, that you welcome me with open arms. Jesus, I believe that you came to save me from my sin and give me new life. Today I ask for your forgiveness and trust in your grace to make me new. Help me follow you and to love others and to live as a part of your family. Thank you for adopting me, your child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.